Your Bibles to James chapter 1. Today we're going to be in verses 19 through 21, and we're going to look at what James has to say about anger and God's Word. But before we go in, I just want to echo some thank yous. I want to thank you to everyone who served last night, and I want to thank you for not only serving last night, but being here on Sunday morning the following day. So I appreciate that as well, because I know it takes something out of you. And then also too, that's part of our purpose, right? We don't know who's going to walk through those doors, so we always want to be prepared to give them a greeting and let them know we're happy they're here. So, and also I want to say, Calmay family, thank you so much for being here. Thank you so much for sharing Steve. I told them last year when they were here, for me that was one of the highlights of the year, was just hearing about how they shared about how God's using them. And it's so inspiring, because for a lot of us just as Christians, to going overseas, that you've already made the ultimate sacrifice, but you go overseas and then you go reach multiple ethnic groups while you're already away from your homeland. And that's to me very inspiring. And you know, it's the type of thing that makes me want to sell all my possessions and start following Jesus, you know? So, but it's a reminder, though, we're all citizens of that same kingdom that's universal. So as they're working over here, may we be ready to work here, especially as our name, Fellowship, is out in the community a little more as we're doing these events. So let's take advantage of that. Let's share with a neighbor. Let's invite them even to move in the park and make use of the opportunities that God gives us here or far away. So, anyway, I guess before I spoke, I said some words, right? So, anyway, as we look at our text today, we're talking about James and anger. And as you're there, one of the things that came to my mind reviewing this text was this warning sign. So this was something, you know, our government put out, because that's how bad men are at going to the doctor, that they're like, okay, we're going to have to put out a billboard to remind men to go to the doctor. Now, I can't really preach on that, because I don't want to go to the doctor myself. You know, I'm a man, I have that thing where I don't want to go. But that sign is to encourage men. So we do things like going and getting our regular checkups, and so we can have preventative medicines, and so we could address things before it becomes something much more serious. And so, you know, it's a reminder too, don't ignore those things like chest pain. Get stuff checked out. So anyway, men, know Uncle Sam is worried about you and wants to make sure you're worried about your health. But men, as we often do, we had a response, didn't we? So, love it. Said, this year thousands of men will die from stubbornness. No, we won't. So, but as we look at our text today, we're going to see something a little bit similar. James is going to tell us to look at a warning sign and then to deal with it for the sake of your spiritual health. So one of the things we're talking about is anger. And James is going to say that symptom of anger is going to remind you to go in for your spiritual check-in, to go and receive God's word humbly, and to be ready to hear what he has to say to us. And we're going to see, just as it would be unwise for us as men never to go to the doctor, because then we're preventing ourselves from getting any sort of help we need. Likewise, for us as Christians, when we're not ready to receive God's word, we're staying away from the only thing that can help us. So let's stand together for the reading of God's word, and we'll let God speak to us through his word. So James chapter 1, verses 19 through 21 says this. It says, know this, my beloved brothers, let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. For the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Therefore, put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word which is able to save your souls. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, I pray today that we would be quick to receive your word. Lord, speak to us, Heavenly Father. May we receive your word, Heavenly Father, your implanted word, which is able to save souls, Heavenly Father. May we be grounded in it, Heavenly Father, and may we live our life empowered by it. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. All right, well, as we take a look at our text today, we're going to see our main idea is this. Our human anger reminds us of our need to repent and to receive God's word. And so we're going to break that down into 2 points. We must be slow to anger if we wish to be godly. And 2, we must repent and receive God's word. So let's take a look at that first point, which is we must be slow to anger if we wish to be godly. We get that obviously from verses 19 and 20. It says, "Know this, my beloved brothers, let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. For the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God." All right, let's just take a step back for a second. Do you remember when we began this series, when we talked about how in the book of James, we're going to see 2 things. We're going to see this kind of theme of persecution and sufferings as you go through trials of various kinds, and we're going to see people behaving badly. Well, as James addresses anger, this is where we're seeing people behaving badly. And James is so practical because anger is something we all deal with, maybe even this morning, maybe last night. So anger is something that we all deal with. And there is such a thing as righteous indignation, righteous anger, but that's not the type James is dealing with here. And we got to also be reminded that for most of us, that's not the type we'll have. And even our good anger is often tainted with our own sin and our own selfishness. But as we think about that, about how trials and behaving badly go together, that should just make us stop and think, right? Because when the pressure's on, it's a little bit harder to do the right thing. Now, that's not an excuse, right? And that but it does help us know what to do with it. It does help us be understanding and even sympathetic. And one of the things that I found useful, what I heard someone share this with me before, is this acronym HALT. And I added an S to it to make it HALTS. So it stands for hungry, angry, lonely, tired. And I added stress to make it HALTS. But HALT. Stop and slow down. Because it's when we're in those moments where our anger can flare up. And so we need to stop. And having that help. So you know what? When you feel those things coming on, now's not a good time to have an intense conversation or make a big decision. And so thought I would share that as we just think about this correlation between trials and suffering and then behaving badly, because that's very easy to do. And so one of the things we have to do is kind of watch yourself. That's just a little tool to help us watch yourself. But now let's notice James' instruction, though. He says we're to be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. You know, it's been said that God gave us 2 ears and 1 mouth so that we would spend twice as much time listening as speaking, or at least we're reminded that we should do that. Well, here we kind of get that reminder as James is telling us, don't be too quick to speak. Remember to listen. Remember to hear. Don't be quick to anger. But why? That's the tough part. For the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. And so, what's the goal? Well, the goal is to reflect God and his righteousness, isn't it? And we talked some about that last week when we talked about God's goodness and how we're to be samples of God's goodness. But sometime in our human anger, we're not demonstrating God and his righteousness. And so it's good for us to remember that, you know what, anger is something that we must be careful about if we're going to be that demonstration of what God is like. It makes me think of when I first became a Christian and my dad would always argue with me and always try to tell me, no, this is just up in your head, it's not real. And I would say, no, Jesus really changed my life. And some of those arguments were good, I thought, and I at least could tell him how Jesus changed me. But then there were other arguments that weren't as good. And I remember him, you know, being my sweet dad, knowing how to push my buttons in a way only like a family member knows how to. And because of that, there were times when I would blurt out in anger. And I'm like, oh no, that's just what he wanted, to show that I'm not any different than him. And that's why we have to be very careful with our anger. Because when we blurt out and have outbursts of anger. Again, we're not reflecting the righteousness of God. But as we look at our text, there's actually a very interesting question here. It's, we have this instruction to be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. But who are we supposed to be quick to hear? Who are we supposed to be slow to anger with? My first thought as I read this text was, well, this is in relation to other people. But there's actually two views on that. The other view is, no, it's in relation to God. But let's first talk about what in relation to other people. Because it just seems like that, doesn't it? You could almost picture two married couples bickering at each other, right? One goes, honey, you're not listening to me. No, dear, you're not listening to me. And it seems like James comes in almost as a marriage counselor and says, no, 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 you guys are not listening to each other. You guys both need to be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. And so that's kind of why I took it as, no, this is in relation to one another. And then one simple tool, I think, with helping with that, it made me think about my days when I was in college. I was a conflict management major, and yes, that's a real degree, and thank you for not laughing at that. Sometimes that's hard to explain to, you know, future in-laws. What are you studying, you know? But anyway, then you go to seminary and get other degrees, and hopefully that helps out. But anyway, one of the principles that you learn is first seek to understand, then to be understood. And so that's, again, seek first to understand, then to be understood. What that means is, so suppose you're in an argument with somebody. One of the things we're so tempted to do is, no, 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 listen to what I'm saying, because if you only saw how the way I see it, then this would be over. And so we try even harder and harder and harder to just push that on the other person. But when we do that, sometimes we're totally not even listening to what they're saying, and we don't even hear them at all. And so one way for us to really apply what James is telling us when he tells us to be quick to hear and to slow to speak is, let's make sure we understand the other person first before we're trying to twist their arm into understanding us. But as we do that, that brings about a little bit of peace that helps de-escalate, helps simmer things down. And you are actually showing a little bit of love and care for someone when you show them that you're seeking to understand where they're coming from, even if you think they're crazy. But when you stop and say, okay, I want to go understand what you're thinking about, what you're telling me, that communicates love and care towards that person. But you know what? There's this other option that, who are we supposed to be quick to hear? Well, the Lord. Who are we supposed to be slow to anger with? The Lord. And some of the why people take it this way is some of the context clues we have in James. And so let me just point out a couple of them to you. So if you go to verse 22, that's a well-known verse. That's where James tells us to be a hearer of God's word, not a doer only. And that's the next place where we see the idea of hearing. And so, did I get the wrong reference, sweetie? Okay. All right. Thank you. Yeah, so, but right around there, we are always supposed to be a hearer of God's word and not just a doer only. Now I'm getting all backwards. I shouldn't stop and ask. So, not only are we to hear it, we're to do it. So there, that's clearly in reference to God, right? And so some people go, okay, so when this instruction here, that's also in reference to God. And what we're going to see in our next point is that we're to humbly receive God's word. So here people are saying, no, 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 we need to remember and check ourselves spiritually, make sure that we're quick to hear the Lord, and we're not slow to anger to him, and not even slow to speak or quick to speak for him. And so there's a lot that makes sense about that as well. And so the anger here would be sort of the unrepentant Christian who doesn't necessarily want to hear what God has to say to them. It reminds me of situation I saw my wife handle very well when we were early in our marriage. Someone important to her asked her opinion on something that was at least controversial to that person. And Catherine knew that that was going to be sort of a loaded question. And so what she basically did is say, here's what the Bible says on that subject. And she just read it. And by doing that, she was saying, I don't need to have an opinion on it. God's really already spoken on it. Unfortunately, what the response was, a very angry something like, that's just your interpretation. But there is no counter-interpretation offered. That was just a defense mechanism to just get around the words that were simply read, and even words that were in the red letters. And so, yes, God's word can make people angry, especially if they're not in a place to receive it. And that's even true of Christians. So sometimes you want to say, please don't shoot the messenger. And so, but when that happens, you realize you're in good company with Jesus and the prophets. And so there are times, too, we got to realize that we need to be quick to hear the Lord and hear what he has to say to us. You know, John MacArthur, who has this view, he has this great quote. He says, James' appeal is for believers to seize every opportunity to increase their exposure to Scripture, to take advantage of every privileged occasion to read God's word, to hear it faithfully preached or taught. How quick to hear are you? That quote stood out to me because it is a privilege to hear God's word, to read God's word, to have a Sunday school where you can have it taught to you. And too often, we just take that privilege for granted, but we got to be reminded that there's brothers and sisters all around the world who don't have Bibles like we do. They don't have it on their phone apps. There's places where it's hard to even go to an evangelical church that would preach the Bible faithfully. And so when we respond to those things, we're showing that we're quick to hear what the Lord would have for us. All right, well, I presented two views for you, though. I said it could be in relation to other people, or it could be in relation to God. Where do I come down on it? Well, this is where I want to come down on it, is I want to have my cake and eat it too. Because as I was thinking about it, I couldn't just separate that to one. Because our relationships with one another affect our relationship with God. They're intertwined. And our relationship with God affects our relationships with one another. And part of the reason why I don't think I'm cheating when I do that is if you flip over in your Bible to James 4, you don't have to do, but you can, we see that same idea, that interrelatedness of relationship with people and God. For example, James 4:1, he says, what causes quarrels and fights among you? Well, that's clearly talking about people with people, right? But then if you drop down to James 4:4, you hear him talk about enmity with God and being an enemy of God. And that's talking about your relationship with the Lord. So sometimes the way we treat other people, that's a symptom of our relationship with the Lord. It's showing where we're at in our walk with Christ. And so sometimes if we are fighting with other people, it might be the real problem is, well, we're fighting or angry at the Lord. And so, yes, to combat our anger, we must be quick to listen, slow to speak. But what really helps us is if we do that first with the Lord and we have a humble posture before him. And when we're quick to hear the Lord and respond to his word, that filters out into other relationships where we can be quicker to listen to those around us. So let me just ask you this question. How's your relationship with those around you affecting your relationship with the Lord? Or let me flip that the other way. How's your relationship with the Lord affecting your relationship with those around you? Because those are intertwined. Where do you need to be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to anger, so that you can reflect God's righteousness? All right, well, we see that anger can be a real problem, and that affects a relationship with God and others. Well, what do we do about it? Well, you might expect a nice list of anger management tools, and those can be helpful, but that's actually not where James takes us. So that brings us to our second point, that we must repent and receive God's word. We get that from verse 21. It says, therefore, put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness. So that's that repentance aspect of it. And so that filthiness and rampant wickedness, I think James, through context clues, has in mind sins of speech, especially as he's talking about being slow to speak. But we also know that whatever is filthy or wicked that we can repent of. And the second part of that is we should receive God's word with meekness, the implanted word. So we must repent and receive God's word. You know, I once had verses 19 and 20 memorized to help me with my anger. But as I studied this week, I'm like, no, I really should have also included verse 21 because that tells us what to do about it, to repent and receive God's word. And so as we think about repentance, again, it's that idea of the U-turn. You're walking one way, you turn around, and you walk the other way. You're putting off what you shouldn't be doing, putting on what you should be doing. And that's a good thing for us to keep in mind, because I think as Christians, especially as American Christians in this blessed century and this blessed time, so often we don't really repent from sin. We just try to move on from sin. But that doesn't work. Often what that leads to is just a staleness in our walk from Christ. So we need to remember to be quick repenters. And here he uses the word put away. So it's like other language we might see in Paul's letter where it's kind of taken off something. So here's the idea of putting off your filthy clothes. So for example, if you're wearing some work clothes, for me it's a University of Michigan t-shirt, and it gets all dirty, then when you want to clean up, you must take off that filthy shirt and get cleaned up to put on something good. So anyway, that's a little bit of a true story. Why it makes it more fun. So I do reuse that shirt if you're wondering. So anyway. So we must put off what makes us dirty. But then on the same side, flip side of that coin, we must receive God's word. And there's a whole lot of way he tells us how we must receive it. First, we must receive it with meekness. Or other way it could be translated is with humility. You know what, we must humbly receive God's word, and that's difficult because we don't like it when anyone tells us we're wrong, even if it's God. And so sometimes we need to be careful and go, do I approach God and his word with meekness and humility and allow him to speak to me? And if we don't, what we're suddenly doing is saying that God's not the final authority. I'm the final authority. So as we receive God's word, we must go with meekness. It reminds me of 1 John 1:8-9. It says, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. And so we shouldn't expect to be perfect. We're not. God's word says so. But the good news is if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So when we humbly receive God's word, that opens us up to spiritual cleansing. That opens us up to spiritual growth. But back to James 1:21, we see it's also called the implanted word. That's kind of a reminder of some of what we saw last week, that we were born again or brought forth by God's word. So it's God's word that brings us to salvation. It's God's word that makes us a child of God, and that's now the implanted word that's in us. And it's also described as this, which is able to save your soul. So that's all a big modifier for God's word. So, but what's the word that's able to save our souls? Well, that's the gospel, right? And even those words, which are able to save your souls, is a reminder that our souls need saving. Our default position with God isn't a fellowship. Because of our sin, it separates us from God. You know, Romans 6:23 says this, for the wages of sin is death. And so we all deserve death. We all deserve separation from God. But the good news is when you believe in Jesus Christ, not only do you not get death, you get life and eternal life. And that's where you get John 3:16, right? For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have life. And so we who are destined for death instead have life. And that doesn't just begin when we die. That's eternal life that starts now in a relationship with God, a God that we would not have access to otherwise. And so that is the word that's able to save our soul. But here James is reminding us that the gospel is not just how you become a Christian, but the gospel is how you live out your life as a Christian. So we don't just start with the gospel to get saved and move on from it. No, we grow deeper and deeper in the gospel. And all of the Bible helps us understand the gospel better. I'm going to make it a little simplistic, but one of the things you can see in the Old Testament, all the time is our need for the gospel, and that what we see that sin causes death, brokenness, and destruction. A lot of things you can read in the New Testament talks about once you respond to the gospel, how do you live that out to those you're around, and how does that affect your life? And so the whole Bible is helping us understand the gospel, and it's this gospel that gives us our spiritual strength. I like what David Platt said this about the intake of God's word. God has planted his word in us, and our hearts find life in this word. Like the blood that flows to our hearts, we need this word. And so just as we needed God's word to come to know Christ, we need God's word to continually live in Christ, to do the things that he would have us to do. All right, before I bring up my next slide, who remembers who my favorite superhero is? Okay, you guys don't know that well, which probably says a little too much about me. But he is my favorite superhero. So let's talk about this for a second. Where does Superman get his strength? Does anyone know? Sun, that's right. Yeah, so he is an alien, right, from Krypton. And so on Krypton, before it exploded, tragic event, it wasn't, but it's okay, it's a fictional event. But on Krypton, it wasn't as if all the people had superpowers. What made Superman have superpowers was he was sent here as a baby, and when his alien physiology interacts with Earth's sun, that's what gives him the superpowers. And so if Superman gets weakened by kryptonite or just a very gnarly battle, what he needs to do is recharge himself. And so here you see a weak Superman. Well, how does he recharge himself? Well, he goes and finds some sunlight. Then you better watch out. He's back to his old self again with super strength, super invulnerability. Well, what James is telling us is when we're spiritually weak, what we need to do is go back to the source of our strength. What's the source of our strength? God's word, the gospel. That is the source of our strength. So have trials or sin or anger weakened you spiritually? What do you need to do? Where do you go for a recharge? You need to go back to the sunlight of God's word and allow that to strengthen you spiritually. And if you're struggling spiritually, there's not a whole lot I can say to help you if you're not committed to being in God's word, to being where God's word is preached and taught. Now, God's word isn't magic. It's not going to make all your problems disappear in a second. But it does help you with all the problems that you're going through, giving you the strength to endure them, giving you your spiritual recharge as you put off sin and you humbly receive God's word and you get restored in your spiritual strength. So God's word, which is the source of our salvation, is also the power of our sanctification, which is our godliness. So if we want to do what God wants us to do, not blow up in anger, it's not as easy as conflict management tools or anger management tools. What we must do is be humbly put off all rampant weakness and filthiness and humbly receive God's word. But let me just ask today, do you need a spiritual recharge? We all do at times. We do daily. Where are you going to get it? Are you getting a spiritual recharge? How do you need to humbly receive the implanted word? How do you need to receive God's word today? Well, we're going to go to our time of invitation, so I'm going to invite the worship team to come up. And you might go, well, what do I do in this time of invitation? Well, it might just be a time to respond. You might say, all right, we've been challenged to think about humbly receiving God's word. Maybe today you'll say, I need to make that commitment where I'm going to take in God's word. It could be reading your Bible daily. Maybe it could be committing yourself to hearing God's word preached or taught here. Because we're going to grow weak without taking in God's word. Or maybe just the very subject of anger brought up to your mind the last time you were angry. And maybe you might say, well, I need to respond to that. There's some repentance that I need to do today. And you're going to let your anger be that barometer of your spiritual temperature. So if you want, you can respond today by coming forward. I'm more than happy to pray for you. But guess what? I don't have any special access to God that any other Christian doesn't have. So if you'd like to come up and pray, you could do that as well. Or you could say, you know what, my need is not any of those things. Maybe today, as you saw a few weeks back, you'd say, I've been around for a little while. I'd like to consider membership. One of the ways you can make that known is by walking down the aisle. Or maybe there's something on your heart between you and God and you want to take it to Him today, you can. But whatever your need, know that you're welcome. And God is ready to receive you. And we must be quick to listen to Him and ready to receive His implanted word. Can you stand with me? And as our worship team leads us, the instructions that they gave me is that we're going to just let this first part of the song be meditative. And we're going to let them kind of speak truth to us. And then we're going to respond and join them in song as well.